from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to the Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you and by the Center for the Performing Arts, presenting Summer at the Palladium now through August.
Hello and welcome to the Art of the Matter. I'm Travis DiNicola. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Baselli Wallereb Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Sharon Gamble. Today I'll start with a preview of the Fountain Square Art Fair.
I'll find out what's new with this year's Indianapolis City Ballet's Evening with the Stars.
And I'll chat with the Arts Council's Dave Lawrence about the annual Start with Art Luncheon. And of course, we'll have our arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. On Saturday, September 17th, Art Squared will turn the Greater Fountain Square neighborhood into a sort of five-ring circus for lovers of all kinds of art. Sharon Gamble invited some of Art Squared organizers in to learn more. Here's her conversation with Elizabeth Ryan, Jamie Farner, and Kelly Murgo.
All right, I have a room full of beautiful and easily excitable women who are having a great time. Maybe they haven't slept enough because they've been getting ready for the Fountain Square Art Fair. Let's start with Kelly. I'm going to ask each of you to say your name and say how you got involved in Fountain Square Art Fair.
Well, my name is Kelly Murgo, and I'm a founding member of the Fountain Square Arts Council. I've been a resident in Fountain Square since 2006, and at that point in time, Fountain Square up and coming in terms of becoming the arts destination. First Fridays were becoming very big, and just became very passionate about that component of the community that I live in.
Sure.
I'm not an artist, but I always say that I love to promote it. I love to talk about art and promote art and promote art events in Fountain Square.
There have to be people to buy art.
Absolutely.
And wear art.
And I can sell art, absolutely.
There you go. And Jamie, your connection?
Sure. I'm Jamie Farner, and I am the outreach coordinator for Sense Charter School. I came to the wonderful neighborhood of Fountain Square in the southeast of Indianapolis through Sense Charter School. I taught there for 3 years, and now I have the opportunity to just connect with different businesses, organizations, and I'm lucky to work with these wonderful ladies this year to promote Art Squared and just bring new people to the neighborhood.
Excellent. And Miss Elizabeth?
I'm Elizabeth Ryan, and I have been in the neighborhood, it seems like, forever now. I always use my son as a way to sort of guide that. So around 13 years. I was lucky enough to become involved with the Fountain Square Arts Council early on as a study circle coordinator. We met and did a lot of meetings with neighborhood residents and artists. And from those discussions came the launching point that started saying that we wanted a neighborhood arts council. Ever since then, I've been involved, and here we are now.
Now, what is the mission of the Arts Council?
Well, the mission of the Arts Council, understanding that within the community of Fountain Square that we have a lot of residents and we have a lot of artists. So one of our objectives is to serve as a catalyst between the residents and the artists, sort of that mediator, if you will, and letting people, you know, providing opportunity for residents to connect with artists. We also have a lot of objectives and ideas to further enhance Fountain Square as an arts destination. We have ideas and objectives to promote opportunities for arts education for the youth in our community. Mm-hmm. So it's very community based, but it's also very arts focused.
So you're kind of a connector, mm-hmm, between and among, and also you connect, I assume, for profit art going on.
Well, we are currently starting to be part of that by being a part of the art fair, mm-hmm, and then also putting together an artist's list of neighborhood to help people find. That is one of the things that we really find this year with the Fountain Square Arts Council is going to be a major focus. We have a space at the Murphy Arts Building now, and that is one of those things. The other piece of it is we really enjoy helping neighborhood residents and those folks who don't necessarily think of themselves as creative to really come out and be involved and show that everyone has an art side. I know Kelly says she's not an artist, but you would be surprised. She can put together some pretty good ensembles.
I want to hear stories. You've got kind of a mischievous grin as you're saying we're getting people who don't think of themselves as artists or artistic. What are some of the ways you're doing that?
Well, one of the main focuses that at big events, because we are a really new group still, we have kept on the tradition of doing an arts parade in the neighborhood. And that is that opportunity to do a traditional parade in many senses, but really encourage people and sort of, you know, push them to that, saying, show us, you're a little crazy, bring it out today. and that in some cases can be wearing that crazy outfit or crazy blue wig, different things along those lines.
Wait, I have one of those.
Sharon.
We're going to be seeing you this September 17th, I know.
You need to come walk with me on September 17th.
Okay, yes. The Blue Girls.
Or even just, you know, decorating your dog.
Or your chicken.
Or your chicken. Last year we had a chicken in the parade. Mm-hmm. So I think it is really that opportunity to... Exactly. I think we got a lot of huh.
I actually live next door to urban chicken farmers, and there are 10 chickens next door, and I'm trying to picture a single one of them walking where you wanted it to.
But well, I that digress. Adds to the artistic flair and creativity of an arts parade. But, you know, it's one of those things where we had a lot of neighborhood groups. Since charter school, we had a lot of neighborhood associations come with different ideas. One of our neighborhood associations actually got together, and they call themselves now the Real Mowers. So they go around and push mowers in a dance formation. So the Real Mower Team. Mm-hmm. It's a group who, if you'd asked them before the arts parade, are they creative? Are they artists? They would have said no. Mm-hmm. But look, they came up with a dance and all of this around these old Real Mowers and decorated them and were just having a blast. So that's one of those ways that we're bringing out the creativity.
That's so fun. And you're breaking down the fences and the barriers between, you know, people who are formally educated as artists and the creative streak of people who aren't formally educated, which has to be great for education.
Yeah, I would definitely say that it is. One thing that I've learned about this neighborhood since being involved over the last 6 years is that they really are a community. Mm-hmm. Fountain Square is a community of people, whether that is an arts council or an education initiative or the Wheeler Arts Building, which brings people from University of Indianapolis on a regular basis to connect. It's really pretty inspiring to see so many folks wanting to just be involved with each other. It's really neat.
Now, a lot of our listeners are thinking about Fountain Square and thinking about sort of the main intersection and the wonderful restaurants and the Murphy Art Center and the fountain and all this kind of stuff. What are the boundaries of Fountain Square? How deep does it go approximately, and about how many residents ballpark?
I think that the boundaries of the actual Fountain Square extend about 3 or 4 blocks in each direction. If you're sort of planted at the fountain,
okay,
and you're maybe going 3 or 4 blocks in each direction, that's a general rough estimate,
I think, of the exact
boundaries.
That's close enough for jazz.
Yes. I'm actually just very happy I pulled that one. and then I'm not quite certain as far as what the an idea of the exact population is.
Well, and I will say that while we call ourselves the Fountain Square Arts Council, we kind of consider ourselves the near southeast side.
Got it.
So that includes
Fletcher Place.
Fletcher Place. It includes Bates Hendricks. It includes as far as Norwood. So we're talking from, down in Fletcher Place all the way up to like Sherman and Raymond and even East Street. So we have some large boundaries. Really, we have about 20 to 30,000 people within that large district. But that, you know, the actual parade and fair and all of that happens really in that heart of Fountain Square, which is what Kelly said, which is in those main couple blocks of the fountain.
Explain what Art Squared is and how the art fair itself fits in.
Well, I will go ahead and explain that. Art Squared is actually a combination of three events in one day. So you can come out to Fountain Square and you can participate in the parade. You can shop around the art fair, and you can also participate in Masterpiece in a Day. So each of these events have taken place previously, and this is the first year that they're being marketed and planned all as one combined experience for family and friends. So the art fair obviously fits in. That will be taking place all day long from 11 to 5. And the Masterpiece in a Day competition will be running all day. And then the parade is sort of our climax of the event before the winners are announced of the Masterpiece in a Day competition.
And about how many people participate in Masterpiece in a Day? I know it's been growing.
You know, I think that since its inception, I believe that there's sort of been highs and lows. I think that at the highest, you definitely couldn't expect to see a few hundred people. And on the lower end, I don't know that any year has yielded less than 100 participants. But we're hoping to just see that number grow and grow.
Sure. So. And one way that we hope to see that this year is to add the music competition back in. It had existed before and then it went away for a couple of years. And now we are doing the music competition again. So all those songwriters and musicians can come out and write their song or whatever piece of music they want to do, whether it's electrical or sounds on a keyboard, whatever it is, then they'll have a chance to perform it that afternoon at the stage, which is on the art fair side of things. So we are really excited to see more folks come out this year on the music side of things.
And just for those listeners who aren't familiar with the Masterpiece in a Day competition, it truly is in a day. You can come and register as early as 9 a.m. at the Wheeler Arts Community on Sanders, 1035 Sanders. Wow, I remembered that. you have the opportunity, that's the uniqueness of this competition is that, you know, you don't come with any sketches, no drawings, nothing of that nature. And I absolutely, one of my favorite things has been about this living in this neighborhood, one of them, is as part of this competition, walking around the neighborhood and just seeing these beautiful pieces of work take form. And I'm always amazed at that someone can create something of that magnitude in 5 hours.
Right.
Yes. So.
Hey, etiquette question. Is it okay to talk with the artists who are painting or sketching or doing watercolor or whatever?
I think that is, when you're set up out in the public like that, I've been a participant in Masterpiece in the Day many times and been able to raise a little bit of funds off of it from some winnings. But that's one of the really positive pieces about that, is that you are out and about, and people coming by can ask you about your medium. They can ask you about how you come up with ideas. And it is that opportunity to have that discussion. And obviously, if you see somebody deep in thought, well, you might wait till they kind of come back for a moment.
Sure.
But I will also add, we had a lot of energy and passion around bringing back the music competition. And the gentleman who's chairing that has had so much excitement around that and is really getting people going. The other piece this year is we also have the writing competition, which is also part of Masterpiece in a Day. And it's going to be a little different this year. It's a chance. It's going to be has a chance element this year. So the chair of that, he has come up with a way that while you go to register, you go to the website, and you will see ideas, writing prompts, and that gives you an idea a little bit about the day. But not until you come there that morning do you get to kind of roll the dice to see what elements you really will bring as part of your story.
Wow. And are those elements drawn from the history of the neighborhood, or do we know?
I looked at some of them, and I'm not sure where he came up with them. That
it might be something as random as he bet on
a river?
The gray horse in the third race.
Right.
Or whatever.
And that's sort of the beauty of it. So, but you do get to see those beforehand. So you can have some things rubbing. I know a cabin was one of them. Hmm. There's some poetry and prose as part of a category. So you get to... you get to embrace that and bring that into your story as one of those tricks to make sure we know you're doing it in a day. art is easier to see. It's some of that other.
That's right. You could have it fully formed in your head and just spit it back out. So, but it strikes me that in the visual art, in the music, and in the writing, it's any genre within those.
Yes.
Does
two-dimensional, three-dimensional.
Okay.
It really is up to the artist and what they feel like bringing. Mm-hmm. In years past, we've had people out cutting metal, making things out of shopping carts, as well as you've had somebody sort of a little more quiet doing watercolor painting. And that's really the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. It really brings out what you want to do that day. Mm-hmm. I've done printmaking. I've done big drawings. It's just sort of where you're feeling you are that day.
Mm-hmm. So. What the weather dictates when you get up that morning. Yeah.
We're having good weather.
Oh, so
you know,
weather
it's
that day.
Perfect weather. 7, 7, 8,
we've 3, already decided
yeah.
that.
Okay, well done. Good committee work. Elizabeth, how will we know you in the parade?
Oh, goodness. That's a good question. Last year, I was blessed with the opportunity to push our co-chair in a wheelchair. She had managed to have an accident, very bad car accident, before the parade, but was still wanting to be in it. So we tied some balloons to her chair and decorated her up, and then I pushed her at the front of the parade. So I'm not sure where I'll be at this year. I don't know if I'll be – hopefully she's luckier. That's a good question.
Everyone's
I haven't
stay
made
safe.
That decision.
Okay.
Yet.
We're having this conversation early. Jamie, do you know what you will be doing in the parade yet?
I will be doing one of two things. One will be either hanging out by the art fair to make sure that things are going smoothly and that artists have what they need and what they want. Or if everything is going really calmly and I don't need to be there, I'll probably be walking with our school. Our kids have come up with pretty awesome float ideas so far. It involves a boat on an empty trailer bed in shark costumes. So if we can pull that off, I may have my husband or some volunteers run the art fair for a minute.
I hear the theme from Jaws.
I know.
You can't miss being a shark.
No, exactly.
I know. Or maybe a little Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, or hopefully the jets will come. We should be okay.
And Kelly, the blue wig again?
Oh, yes, Sharon. And I expect to see you out there with me that day. Yes, the blue wig waits to come out for certain special occasions. Uh-huh. And so I have already declared that this will be my special occasion that I'm going to be bringing it out. Yes, absolutely. I have quite fun when I put it on. So
I can't wait to see you guys as twins. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Sharon Gamble with Elizabeth Ryan, Jamie Farner, and Kelly Murgo. Art Squared takes place on Saturday, September 17th in and around Fountain Square. You can learn much more about Masterpiece in a Day, the art fair, the parade, and how to get yourself and your chickens involved by visiting discoverfountainsquare.com. Again, that's discoverfountainsquare.com, and then go to Arts Squared.
You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio. For the past 2 years, the Indianapolis City Ballet has put on a one-night event that many have claimed is the most exciting annual arts event in the city. So, what are they doing for year three? Adding a second night, of course. This year, the Indianapolis City Ballet's Young Stars of Ballet will take place the night before the Evening with the Stars performance, and they're both at the Murat. Travis DiNicola spoke with the ballet's producer, Kevin Hess, their director of marketing, Ellie Baker, and founders and board members, Robert Hess and Jane Fortune.
You bring in some of the best ballet dancers from the entire world for a one-night sampler of the best of what's in ballet right now.
Yes, we're very proud. We're very proud. In our programs in 2009-2010, We have brought in 23 of the best dancers in the world.
Yes.
And we also have a masterclass series, and we brought in 21 of the finest teachers for our local ballet students. We're very pleased and proud with what we've done.
Yeah, in just 2 years, you have certainly contributed significantly, I think, to the cultural community here in Indianapolis. Now, it has been traditionally just a sort of a one-night event that brings people together. And this year, tell me about the second night, because that's sort of what's repeating that people know about. Give me a brief overview, if you will, of all the great dancers that are going to be showcased. Kevin?
This year is a little bit different in that as we approached the artists, as we approach putting together a residency company next year, we're looking at what the dance scene is in the United States. And and we've really found a wonderful, again, another gala evening with a theme more of the greatest international stars of the American ballet. We will have
American ballet companies.
American ballet companies from American Ballet Theater, New York City Ballet, the Joffrey, San Francisco. And a few guest artists too. But
it always amazes me how you get these artists in here. I mean, I know there's certainly a lot of word of mouth, but the dance community is pretty small. I mean, it sounds like people are pretty excited to be a part of this now.
They're excited around the world. I mean, we get word from Russia that they know about this event. We get it from the summer intensives all across the country, where when people find out the kids are from Indianapolis, they say, "Well, you've got these programs."
Yeah.
It's really gone beyond the borders of Indianapolis.
And am I correct? I mean, there really is nothing quite comparable anywhere else in terms of an evening like this, where you have so many different dancers from so many different companies and countries.
It's not unique, but it's very unusual. Mm-hmm. With most companies, they'll do their own galas, but you're getting dancers from one company and you're getting repertoire from one company. The doors are wide open with what we do. I mean, we've got contemporary and classical works from, again, the signature works of some of the world's greatest dancers.
Well, I mean, when I look at, you know, the idea of having New York City Ballet, American Ballet Theater, and Joffrey all on the same stage, essentially, I mean, that's pretty unique.
It is. It's a wonderful thing. The dancers really enjoy doing this. There is something of a gala group of dancers, and so it's a small group, but it's a very elite group. But they certainly enjoy coming to Indianapolis, and they love the audience here.
And it's a great chance for them to see each other's work too. And,
right.
And speaking of the audiences, I mean, you've pretty much been sold out the past couple of years, right?
We have.
And
yeah.
Anticipate that again. Absolutely.
We always hope for the best.
If you would, give me a highlight or two of what's going to happen on the Saturday, September 10th show.
Well, I know
there's so many pieces that night, but
there are 13 dancers. Only three of them are Americans, actually. We've got new works from Margot Sappington again, who will do an Indiana sort of themed new commission. We will be having works from contemporary choreographers, Yorma Elo, Chris Wielden.
So just a great mix.
It's a great mix of new contemporary choreographers, contemporary ballet.
Contemporary ballet, yeah. And that's an important thing, too, because we're not just seeing great ballet dancers, but we're also seeing the work of great ballet choreographers.
The new things that you won't necessarily see maybe anywhere again. And along with, you know, what we call the war horses, you know, the corsairs and the Don Q's and those sorts of things, which, you know.
So this will be the first time Paloma will be here, right?
We have Paloma Herrera dancing with special guest artist Guillaume Cote from the National Ballet of Canada.
Excellent.
Will be coming in, so that'll be exciting.
And Paloma Herrera from American Ballet Theater.
She's been a star for 20 years now, since she was 14 and she joined the company.
Wow. So this is a night that it's both a great night for anyone who loves ballet. They should be there. But, you know, if you're just sort of looking like, what is ballet, you're not going to get a better sample than this one evening. For people who really want to, you know, see some of the best, right?
That's right.
All audiences.
Right. Yeah. We have people who have never seen ballet or never seen anything other than a Nutcracker.
Sure.
Who sort of walk in tenuously and by intermission time, they love ballet.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's one of the greatest things that you're bringing to the city. But what I'm really even, if I could be more excited about something, is the first night that you have this year. Again, you're doing two nights this year. You've done one night in the past. The second night, the 10th, is the Evening with the Stars. But the first night is on the 9th, and it's titled The Young Stars of Ballet. And these are truly the stars of tomorrow. Kevin, tell me about sort of the thought process of where this idea of the Young Stars of Ballet came about.
It began in our planning for a residency company, which will take place next summer. And knowing we need to be on sort of at the ground level of the upcoming next generation of, mm-hmm. of dancers in order to build a company here. It followed up with a Youth America Grand Prix, which was last February, that we sponsored here in
right,
Indianapolis.
Right, sure.
Mm-hmm. And,
which
is
a ballet competition.
It's mm-hmm. it's the world's largest competition. And we've sponsored that up here in Indianapolis. They'll be coming back next March, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were looking at having you know, put this together. We're trying. Imagine, if you would, seeing Nureyev in 1958. when he was young, seeing Baryshnikov in 68, seeing Julie Kent in 88.
Sure, when they were teenagers.
Yeah, these are the stars of tomorrow. We put them on a program with some of today's stars, principals from ABT and New York City Ballet, soloists from ABT.
This is going to be such an exciting evening. And believe me, this is not like a kid's recital. This is going to be an amazing evening of dance with some of the best dancers in the world who just happen to be a little bit younger. I mean, there's a couple pieces I want to ask you about specifically, but tell me a little bit about, Kevin, before we went on the air, you were telling me about a young man who's 11 years old who, he's American but lives in Italy, is that right?
His name is Aaron Bell. He's a astonishing prodigy, pursued by all the major ballet schools. He hasn't committed to one yet. But it just, again, stunning technique, stunning ability. He's the rare one at 11 in this program. Most will be in their mid and late teens and early 20s even.
Mm-hmm.
But just an astonishing talent, and again, recognized by major companies and schools around the world as somebody to watch.
I know one of the pieces that I'm most excited about seeing on that night is with Chris Lingner. Chris is just a phenomenal young man. Most recently, Indianapolis audiences probably saw him as the male lead in Coppelia, which I got to be a part of and got to know him. And he's just such a great dancer to watch. And he had been part of the touring company of Moving Out, and because of that connection has been able to bring a pretty cool dance here.
It's Twyla Tharp, who's from, actually, Indiana.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, from her Broadway show, Moving Out, and he and Ashley Dupree will be doing a pas de deux from that, Just the Way You Are. And I think everybody will know the music.
That'll be great.
It's a wonderful piece. He's also in our Grand Défilé, which has...
Now, that was the third thing I wanted to ask you about. Okay, this is kind of like just a monumental piece. Over 100 young dancers, right?
It's a 6.5-minute classical piece with more than 100 dancers in it.
Wow.
We commissioned it.
We've commissioned that with Carlos Dos Santos is the choreographer in the mm-hmm. piece. We're working with Suzanne DeLay here.
Mm-hmm. And so these are a lot
studios
of
and
young
and
local dancers here that are going
to
be a part
all,
of this.
They're all Indianapolis, Indiana, yeah. You know, central area.
How great for them to have that opportunity to be on the stage with so many other greats.
I think they're really enjoying the idea of it and the prospects of it. We're very pleased that... there's actually been interest in televising.
I can't even imagine having 100 ballet dancers on stage at the same time. Is that what we're really talking about here?
It's going to be an adventure.
Bob, whose idea was that?
Oh, I hate to say.
Maybe better. But it's going to be certainly a lot of fun for that. Now, one other thing
I think they have 10 rehearsals, right? Something like that. And we saw the second rehearsal, mm-hmm. and it was magnificent.
It was. I mean, it was amazing that in that short a time that they could actually be as good as they were, because you've got 100 people that
yeah.
have to learn this. So
it's a lot
of talents and a lot of different styles that have to be made into one. So.
Now, will that close out the evening? Will that be sort of the last piece on the mm-hmm. – okay.
Yes. Great.
Certainly yes. something to look forward to. Now, there's something else that's really special about the event, the Young Stars of Ballet, again on September 9th, is that the whole evening is honoring David Howard. Tell me a bit about David Howard. I know he's an extremely well-known dance teacher.
Yes, but we're also honoring teachers,
mm-hmm.
The ballet teachers from the area, and David Howard, as the teacher to the stars, is the leading awardee.
bringing in young dancers, it's as much about the dancer as it is about the teachers. Mm-hmm. It's also about their families, too, the sacrifices they make also. But the teachers, you know, carry the legacy of ballet, you know, from generation to generation. And so we'll recognize the teachers here in Indianapolis. But also David Howard is, when Mikhail Baryshnikov was looking for a teacher, he came here and he went to David Howard. Natalia Makarova went to David Howard. Gelsey Kirkland went to David Howard.
Pretty good
today,
resume.
Today, you know, Paloma Herrera takes mm-hmm. class from David Howard. I mean, he's the master teacher of the stars, I believe, is his mm-hmm. is his moniker there. But
well, that's great. That's a great way to honor him. And again, two amazing nights of ballet. Friday, September 9th, the Young Stars of Ballet. And then on the 10th, the Evening with the Stars, 2011. And then part of this actually kicks off your season of masterclasses. And I believe you've got about 11 or so scheduled at this point with just great teachers, that instructors and dancers who are coming in, who will be providing assistance and classes for local dancers. Ellie, tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, we'll be running from September, starting that same weekend, September 11th. And we'll have three classes then in October and start again in January and run through June. One Sunday a month, some months more than that.
Okay.
It's open to intermediate or advanced dancers, and there are observation spots that are available also. And we will be live shortly on our website to sign up to take the classes.
At IndianapolisCityBallet.org.
www.IndianapolisCityBallet.org.
Okay, now let me ask all of you the question that has sort of been alluded to a little bit here. One of the first things, Bob and Jane, when you came in the studio 2 years ago to talk about the first night of the Indianapolis City Ballet Evening with the Stars, was that you had hopes then of creating a resident company here in Indianapolis. And Kevin, I'm hearing you refer to it more and more, so what can you guys tell us about how those plans are developing?
It's coming.
Okay.
late July, we'll have dancers on the ground here in Indianapolis working with major choreographers on some new repertoire, maybe some existing, a quadruple bill style program, and we'll do performances here and other venues throughout the state.
Any hint as far as the schedule when we audiences in Indianapolis might be
able to? You'll be seeing them in our gala period. We'll be moving, so it will be in that first second week of September phase of 2012.
Our first program was in 2009, second mm-hmm. in 2010, and we filled the theater each time, and I think we'll fill it again. And the master classes have drawn over 300 students. We've made an impact here. But people say to us, so when are you going to build a ballet in Indianapolis? And the answer is, we have, we are, and we will.
Travis DiNicola with Indianapolis City Ballet's producer Kevin Hess, their director of marketing Ellie Baker, and founders and board members Robert Hess and Jane Fortune. The Young Stars of Ballet and Evening with the Stars programs take place on Friday, September 9th and Saturday, September 10th at the Murat Theater at the Old National Center. For more information, visit IndianapolisCityBallet.org. Again, IndianapolisCityBallet.org. Thing in 3, 2, 1. Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
The back to school stuff is marked down. It means it's the end of August.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Get your pencils now.
And hurry up and see and do everything you want to say that you did during the month of August. And
we'll
have ideas on our calendar. We call
What did you do this summer?
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Hey, I can barely believe that September is next weekend.
Yikes.
And of course, there's First Friday on Friday night, but there's also a really great show that's taking place featuring members of IDOTA. That's the Indiana Downtown Art Dealers Association. They're having their 7th annual membership exhibition at Wudlacoo's Studio and Garage, and it's going to be on Wednesday night, not First Friday, but last Wednesday, I suppose, is how you work that out. So Wednesday the 31st, and this is a juried show. It's an annual show. And again, it is taking place at Wudlacoo's Studio and Garage, which is located, it's a little tricky to get there, but it's so cool and so worth it. It is actually sort of bordering Mass Ave in the Circle City Industrial Complex. Part of that road is blocked off right now by 10th Street, but you can get there. You know what I would do? I would give WUG a call at 270-8258, and he will give you directions as far as how to get there. It's on Brookside Avenue. And that's Wednesday night. And it's going to be a great exhibit featuring all types of local artists.
Definitely worth checking out. If we slammed all your circuits, Wug. Hey, I have things coming up in September as well, including something very cool coming up. If you're into presidential history, I'm sure you know about the President Benjamin Harrison presidential site, which has an annual speaker series, the Mary Tucker Jasper Speaker Series. This year's speaker is Richard Norton Smith, who's a presidential historian, and he's done all sorts of research and written about amazing presidents from Herbert Hoover to the Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan years, the Ford years, and as they say, so much more. The speech is taking place on September 15th. It includes a private reception with Richard Norton Smith at the Harrison home, followed by dinner and a presentation at the Columbia Club. More information, 631-1888, 631-1888, and that's coming up September 15th.
That sounds lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Also next weekend, out at Symphony on the Prairie for September 3rd and fourth, it's Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, which is very fun. It's the final Marsh Symphony on the Prairie concerts. If you haven't been out there yet this summer, now is the time. They are a great, fun swing band. Always worth checking out.
They are so high energy. Don't forget to see the final few shows that you wanted to catch at the Fringe this weekend.
Go Fringe!
But the theater doesn't stop, because this coming Thursday, the 1st, is the opening of Arthur Miller's All My Sons at the Cardinal Stage Company in Bloomington. Great classic play. You might have read it in school. If you've never seen it on stage, take this opportunity. It plays from the 1st through the 18th, Cardinal Stage Company at the John Waldron Arts Center.
And definitely plan to go to FoodCon 2, mm-hmm. that is on First Friday, September 2nd, and that is at the Harrison Center for the Arts. And FoodCon 2 is this great sort of celebration of food and culture and art and all types of cool stuff. There will be exhibits by Slow Food Indie, as well as all types of fun food to sample from farmers markets and dairies and supper clubs and groups like that, plus a lot of food-related artwork at the Harrison for FoodCon 2, Friday, September 2nd. Food and art, always good stuff.
That's right.
We'll be back with more ideas of great art things to do to wrap up this summer on that calendar we call.
What'll we do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
No pressure or anything, Arts Council of Indianapolis, but it is the 25th anniversary of Start With Arts, the annual arts and business luncheon that kicks off the fall season. Sharon Gamble invited Arts Council President and CEO Dave Lawrence in to tell us about finding the keynote speaker, Peter Kajiyama, about cross-promoting the arts and sports, and about the ambitious citywide mural project.
You have a unique opportunity this year to tie into the Super Bowl, and so you're actually doing a super Start With Art. Talk to me about the brainstorming about, and I'm sure you felt a certain amount of pressure to make it extra great this year.
Well, yes. I mean, obviously there's a lot of interest and excitement, not only about the arts community, but everything that's happening in Indianapolis leading up to the big game in February. And so we thought that this was a perfect opportunity to hype everything that's going on in the arts community, to generate excitement and let the arts fans and sports fans commingle this year. So it is super Start With Art.
I love that. In addition to having a just, it is like a pep rally for the start of everybody's arts season. And the balance is still about 50-50 business people and artist arts administrators, right?
Yes, it's a really nice mix. We always call it the biggest family reunion in the city for the arts community. It's great to bring everybody back together. And, you know, we've all been sort of in our silos all summer, just working away on season preparations and all that. So it's for folks in the arts community, it's a great way to reconnect and get back together and share excitement about everything that's going to happen. And for our wonderful corporate sponsors and the folks from the business community that are there that are true arts supporters and advocates, it's great for them to see the excitement and enthusiasm of the arts community. It's very infectious, and they get sort of swept up in all of the excitement as well.
I know one of the hardest things to do is to get the program started because, you know, you've got all of these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, many of whom know one another because we have a very collaborative community, and that's due in no small part to the Arts Council's work over the years. But, you know, there are all these board members who've served on boards of multiple organizations, so they have to go greet the artists they used to work with and all the artists who've worked for multiple organizations and administrators and so forth. So there is just that really reinforces that family reunion sensibility.
Yes, and you have just identified the biggest challenge of Start With Art every year, and that is to get everyone to get to their seat so we can start the program.
Sit down.
It's a wonderful problem
visit
to have.
Visit afterwards. Go visit when you go to each other's exhibit openings and performances. The Arty Awards continue, and for people who aren't familiar, I'll have you describe what the Arty Awards are.
Thank you. The Arty Awards are a way for all of us to recognize, celebrate, and honor those businesses, big and small, volunteers, the patrons and donors to our organizations, and also new this year, outstanding arts educators in our community as well. And so we give out the Arty Awards every year in five different categories, and they're always a surprise. And so we give one for a corporation, a small business, a volunteer or patron, the arts educator, Artie, and also an Artie Award called the Artful Impact Award for the sort of the thing that everyone's been talking about for the past year in the arts in Indianapolis.
Cool. I don't know how you and your staff do this, but you every year come up with a speaker who's just got the next big idea, the next new idea. And this year's speaker is no exception to that. And he's been involved with emotionally connecting cities, some work that he was inspired by Richard Florida to do, right?
Correct. Peter Kajiyama is our keynote presenter this year. And he does sort of come from the Richard Florida school of thought regarding involving and creating connections for young professionals and the notion of the creative class that I know we've all heard of and talked about. He's written a new book called For the Love of Cities, and he will be selling those books following Start With Art Luncheon and signing them as well for folks. And his notion is that people are developing lasting and deep connections, emotional connections with their communities through arts and culture. And so when you think about wonderful things that are happening here in Indianapolis and all the expansions in the Indianapolis Cultural Trail and the work of the Super Bowl Host Committee and even things like our own murals initiative, there really are a lot of things going on in the city right now that we're hoping we are able to create these emotional connections with folks and get them more involved in their communities, in their neighborhoods, and to develop that sense of place even further in our city.
I was reading some essays that he wrote about what this connectivity means, and he talks about how when you go to a new city, if you take the time to ask people what they love about their city, it's often something that in the grand scheme of things might seem minuscule, that might seem very dear and kind of precious, like a favorite pocket park where people sit and watch people, or a bark park like the one that we have in Broad Ripple that just seems to be a magnet. But he also describes how everybody has dozens of these little moments or things that make up the love for their city.
I think we only have to look, too, of when we travel. I think all of us, when we go to our favorite cities, it's not the big tourist attraction things that we like to see. It's those areas that we know are authentic and unique to that location. And I think that when we turn that mirror around and think about where we are in our own communities and finding those places that we feel most at home or most comfortable or most connected with other people, it's usually these smaller or really, you know, sort of unique locations that provide that sense of place and that sense of comfort and that sense of community.
and a uniqueness, too.
Absolutely.
I was reading one article that he wrote where he was leading into a description of something that happened in Durham, North Carolina, and he talked about all these volunteers getting together, and they were organizing a mass wedding. And I thought, oh, well, this is leading up to being a big public commitment ceremony. And it was, but it wasn't people committing to one another. It was some number, some crazy thousands and thousands of people who all turned up on the same day and essentially wed their city and made a promise. Isn't that cool?
I mean,
and at first it's like, oh, that's so bizarre. And then the more you think about it, they made a promise to do things like pick up the trash on their street, take care of their parks, look out for one another. And it's just like, that's really very creative and very moving, and what a cool thing, and maybe we could do something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You mentioned the murals project. I know you had some great publicity in the Star recently. Congratulations, and Erica Smith's essay. I'd like to know a little bit more about the 45 for 45 murals. Do I have the right number?
46 for 46.
I am. don't shoot me, NFL fans, Super Bowl fans. I'm sorry. Thank you.
I love it. Yes. Well, the Murals Initiative, 46 for 46, we're really hoping is a kickoff, pardon the pun, for a larger citywide murals initiative. And this is funded through public and private sources. This is completely separate from the usual grant funding that we get from the city, of which we're very appreciative that we turn around and grant to arts organizations, large and small, throughout the city. This is a completely separate initiative. We're looking at creating these murals all over Marion County. We're going to try to hit all four corners. We've probably announced 17 locations at this point of the 46. 10 of those are down along the canal, the downtown canal. And I think that probably by this point, two or three of them have been completed. We have right now six being worked on. The largest, that's probably over 30 feet tall, is on the site of Summit Realty, their headquarters at 241 North Meridian. So the building just north of the Regent's Tower, mm-hmm. on that south wall. We did a national call for artists earlier this year. And we selected, our Public Art Selection Committee selected a roster of around 35 artists, a third of which are right here from central Indiana, and the others are from all over the country. So it's a nice mix of local and national muralists. We've put no thematic stipulations.
So it doesn't have to reflect what Indianapolis means to the artist or anything like that?
It doesn't have to involve footballs or anything like that. What we're hoping, and we've already seen this in many locations, is the artist is working directly with the community or the neighborhood where the mural is going so that they can understand and reflect that community.
Smart.
And that neighborhood in the piece. It provides that ownership, and that that input is critical to the artist as they move forward.
So there might be a reflection of history. If a mural is on or near Indiana Avenue, there might be a reflection of the jazz history there, or
absolutely.
That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are these, it strikes me that there's a lot of bureaucracy to go through, especially since a lot of them are on private buildings. So you've had a team working on getting permission, getting enthusiasm, that sort of thing.
I cannot believe the complexity of this program, and every site is different. I have 46 children now. It's been very challenging, but we do have issues of permitting, in
sure.
some places, right-of-way issues when the painting's happening, or site preparation. There are a number of approvals if they are in historic neighborhoods that we're working with our friends at the Historic Preservation Commission and others in the Department of Public Works and Metropolitan Development. So every site has been very different, and we're making sure that, yeah, there are a lot of sometimes hoops to jump through. But what's remarkable is the passion that people have for these processes, which just protects neighborhoods and all that. So I'm glad that they're there. Sometimes it does sort of slow the process down a bit, but we've sort of built that into our timelines as well.
This is not your first ball game, so to speak. These are semi-permanent, I'm guessing?
That's a great question. One of the things that we wanted to build into this program from the beginning was an understanding both of the site owner and the artist exactly how long the work was going to remain. So what we're hoping to do is that we are creating 46 canvases across central Indiana, so that in, you know, maybe 10 years' time, and that's the sort of max that we've put on any of these locations, that we'll be able to swap these out, do a new call for artists, and have 46 new murals. Again, and some of these will not last as long based on the materials used, based on the location, those sort of things. So we're working on each of those sites as well. But we're really hoping that everyone can see that, you know, maintenance and conservation are very important things when you're talking about works in, of public art. So we're building that into the beginning of the program and an understanding both of the site and the artist for how long the work is going to remain.
And, you know, that's another complexity. I'm sure some of them are on stucco, some are on brick, some are on concrete. And so the materials, the paint, kind of paint has to be a little different each place.
And... Exactly. And there's at least one that I know of right now that will actually be created on vinyl. It's Artur Silva does digital artworks, mm-hmm. and his is going on a huge wall on the back of Union Station. There's a corrugated metal train shed, and it's going to go over the Illinois Street underpass there.
Hmm.
And because of the shape of that, the corrugated metal there, we decided to put that one on vinyl. And so that will be stretched over that. So, you know, that will probably fade at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working with our tour to find out exactly how long that will be and when we'll need to think about a new mural in that location.
Are you still in need? I know that the artists who responded to the call created the artwork, but that doesn't mean that they're executing it all by themselves. Are you still in need of folks to help complete murals at this point?
Absolutely. We are still in need of volunteers. We've gotten a lot of great response so far. And these can sort of, in some locations, and it really depends on how the artist prefers to work in their process. But we do have opportunities for volunteers to be there and assist the artist in all stages of the mural creation. So if folks are interested, they can contact us at the Arts Council.
Sharon Gamble with Dave Lawrence, President and CEO of the Arts Council of Indianapolis. The 25th annual Start With Art Luncheon is on Thursday, September 1st, beginning promptly at 11:30 at the Sagamore Ballroom in the Indiana Convention Center. Learn more and buy tickets, plus learn about the mural project at indiearts.org. Again, indiearts.org.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buselli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter again next Friday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 4 when I'll get a preview of this year's Greek Fest.
Mm. I'll find out what's going on this season with the Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra.
And I'll get the lowdown on the Indiana Dramatic Arts and Communications Festival and Competition. Plus, we'll also have our arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? So please listen next Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4 for The Art of the Matter here on WFYI for your information.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you and by the Center for the Performing Arts, presenting Summer at the Palladium, now through August. The Art of the Matter. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's Art of the Matter was produced and edited by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter on 90.1 FM, Indianapolis.